From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Joe Palca. Steve Inskeep is away. In northern Greece today, police clashed with a small group of anarchists who set fire to shops and a McDonald's restaurant. They staged their protest to mark a European Union summit nearby. At that summit, European leaders reached out to the troubled countries of the former Yugoslavia, and they ushered in the draft of the first European-wide constitution. NPR's Sylvia Poggioli was at the summit in Portokaros, Greece.
This was probably the biggest gathering ever of the European Union. Members, soon to be members, and a long list of hopefuls. Those at the end of the line, Albania, Croatia, Bosnia, Macedonia, and Serbia-Montenegro, were told that they must embrace democracy, rule of law, and minority rights. These countries have undergone tumultuous ethnic wars and civil clashes, and European Commission President Romano Prodi acknowledged they have very serious and specific problems to overcome. He spoke through an interpreter.
Political dialogue, a real commitment to combat organized crime are essential.
The Balkan leaders are convinced they'll meet EU requirements within a few years. Analysts say this is unrealistic. Croatia has been slow to extradite suspected war criminals to The Hague. Serbia-Montenegro has an uncertain political future. And the final status of UN-administered Kosovo, still legally a province of Serbia, remains undecided. The EU is also annoyed with Bosnia and Albania for bowing to American pressure and signing agreements with the United States not to hand over U.S. citizens to the newly established International Criminal Court. Washington doesn't recognize the tribunal, while just yesterday the European Union officially reiterated its strong support for the ICC. At a press conference here today, Bosnian Prime Minister Mladen Ivanic was asked how his country would deal with European objections to the agreement Bosnia has signed with Washington.
If this agreement is the last obstacle to be a member, don't worry, this will be not the problem because we have a right to cancel this agreement whenever we want.
Yesterday, the summit's focus was on internal issues and changes. The EU leaders were presented with the final draft of a constitution aimed at making the Union more efficient. The draft, which gives more powers to European institutions at the expense of national governments, will be subject to intense debate before it's officially approved by all members sometime next year. The most contentious issues will be the abolition of veto powers for individual nations in certain areas, and the absence in the draft of any mention of God and the Christian religion. Even Pope John Paul II had urged that Christianity be identified in the Constitution as the wellspring of European culture. In a move seen as an effort at rapprochement with the United States after the high tension over the war in Iraq, the EU endorsed the outline of its first security and defense strategy. Analysts say it's in line with some of the views of the Bush administration. For the first time, the EU recognizes that weapons of mass destruction pose a major threat to global security. The security statement calls on North Korea to dismantle its nuclear program and on Iran to accept spot checks on its atomic facilities. And it stresses that transatlantic relations remain of fundamental importance in every domain, not only for the two sides, but also for the international community. But in a press conference, EU Foreign Policy Chief Javier Solana reiterated that for the European Union, use of force is a last resort, and that it will continue to seek diplomatic solutions through multilateral institutions.
Nobody can solve the global problems of today alone. A global problem, by definition, needs a global solution and therefore needs a complex solution. And a complex solution cannot be given by one country alone.
Sylvia Poggioli, NPR News, Portokaros.